This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Apparently, I did not see this until today. Josh, did you see this? That apparently there was a quote going around from Deion Sanders about his son Shador, and he said he wants him in New York, or it better be New York. There was something like that. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. That's interesting.
But he has said that's is not. He said it's a lie. He said this is not true that this happened. Let's hope it's New York was what was quoted in there's some Twitter accounts and there's these big quotes. Let's hope it's New York. And Deion has come out and said, this is a lie. We're very thankful for whatever God chooses for them, meaning his kids. So, yeah.
I wonder if it's some weird PR tactic, right? Like, oh, no, I didn't say that. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's weird. Interesting.
There's a Twitter account, I'm sorry, an Instagram account, apparently called Football Forever, that says, Deion Sanders on where his son, Shador Sanders, will be drafted. Let's hope it's New York, is the quote. And then under it, Deion writes, this is a lie. We're thankful for whatever God chooses for them. Oh, man. You know, and I love Deion, I do. I think that he's great for college sports. He's one of the most fantastic athletes I've ever watched. I think Bo Jackson might be the greatest. I think Deion is right there. He's amazing. And I think he really surpassed my expectations as a coach. And listening to people like Lewis Riddick talks about him a lot and how he's incredibly, incredibly competitive. You could see that. I do think, though, if you're a team drafting him, drafting Shador, I think you have to have in the back of your head that, like, in some way, shape, or form, Deion comes with him, right? He's going to be a part of that. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing, but it might have to be something you have to manage in some way, right? Because if things do start to go south, or Shador doesn't see the field right away, is Deion, who, with his big personality and his platform, does that cause a problem? Again, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a great thing to have Deion Sanders as a part, and his kid as a part of your program, and he shouldn't be held against Shador. But I think if you're a team, you have to have a way to figure out and think about, from a PR standpoint, managing that and just saying, look, his dad is this big time superstar. He's got this platform. He's always been his coach. And there's always been rumors about, remember, like, what was the guy's name? LaVar Ball? It was LaVar, right? The guy's name?
Yeah. LaMelo, right? Ball's dad.
Yeah, Melo. Yeah, exactly. And like that, that's a different scenario, but you still had to deal with, whenever something would happen, him going and having these platforms that people gave him. In this case, Deion doesn't even have to have it given to him. He has one as the head coach of Colorado and who he is. So I do think you have to think about that at least. When it comes to quarterbacks, though, this is not considered a really great, you know, quarterback class. But there are people who tell you, and, you know, Shedeur Sanders is, you know, a legitimate first round pick. That's not the case that he isn't, but this is not the type of quarterback class maybe we're used to, or we've seen the last couple of years. I would say I do think Cam Ward, to me, is the best quarterback coming out in this year's class, and it is appearing more and more like he is going to be the number one overall pick, at least if you kind of look at some of the tea leaves and the pro day that he worked out. Marcel Louis-Jacques, our buddy down in Miami, he used to work here in Buffalo. He has a story up at ESPN.com about his pro day, and I guess he crushed it, did really well, and it's appearing, though, it's going closer and closer to, you know, him being the number one overall pick. That would be, of course, from the Tennessee Titans. What's interesting is after that, let's just say the Titans take Cam Ward. If the Browns then choose, they could choose Shedeur Sanders, no doubt. There's a thought they're going to go Abdul Carter. And if they get Abdul Carter on opposite Myles Garrett, man, that's great. But who's the quarterback? It's Kenny Pickett. Really interesting. And obviously at three is the Giants with Shedeur Sanders. I don't want to see Travis Hunter go to the Patriots. I like Travis Hunter. I think he's fantastic. But right now, it looks like that could very well be the case. Now, they still have some work to do around their offensive line and at wide receiver. Probably too high for a wide receiver right there. Travis Hunter can play some wide receiver. We know that. But I don't want to see Travis Hunter in a Patriots uniform. That would not sit well with me. But, you know, He's going to be very highly picked. I think he's the best overall football player in this draft, Travis Hunter. But, you know, if you need a quarterback, I think Cam Ward is probably the guy that you're going to choose here. And I do think Cam Ward has a chance to be a good NFL quarterback. Maybe not right away, and the Tennessee Titans are going to have to, if they take him or whoever, you know, really develop him. Let's go to John in Clarence Center. Hi, John. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I've seen parents getting involved at all levels that I've played, and very, very seldom does it turn out positive. I personally think Deion Sanders is an incredible athlete, but once his son is drafted, that's where it should end, right there. It puts so much pressure on management and coaches, and I just think it leads down a very bad hole. And I've seen it, like you mentioned, LaVar Ball, that happens, and you're seeing it to some level with LeBron James and his son. I just think parents should know their place when their kids get drafted and just sit back and watch their career and watch the games, be proud and enjoy it and sit back. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Yeah. John, I don't think many people would disagree with you in the overall sentiment of what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying. It is hard sometimes for a parent, right, to do that. But especially when you get to that level, of course. I think even at the lower levels, we all do this and we all have this. And I've coached Little League. I've coached high school sports, everything. And, you know, there is the coach is the coach, the parent's the parent. But let's just take that part of it out and go to the professional level. Yeah, I mean, if you're a professional team, you draft somebody, you know, that it's a job now. It's a job. That's their career. That's their job. And I would hope that Deion is sincere and right, but he's going to care. Every parent is. I mean, you can't blame any parent for caring and want to see your kid treated well, right? But you hope that he does take that step back because I think I have this right. I think he's the only coach Shedeur's ever had in football, in high school, and I think he was a part of the high school, maybe not the head coach, but in college, and whether it's Jackson State or Colorado, and, you know, that's an adjustment, and we'll see how Shedeur reacts to it, too, wherever he goes. It's really interesting. It's an interesting dynamic with Deion, especially because of who he is, and I'm of the age now. Josh, you didn't watch Deion play, right? You're too young. You never saw Deion play. He was retired by the time you started watching football, right?
Yeah, no, I never saw him play, live.
I mean, I think you understand how great he was. Have you watched highlights of him? You ever gone back and watched how incredible he was as an athlete?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he was just, you know, he was the guy. Like, he changed the game.
Yeah, and not only that, but, you know, Bo Jackson gets all the credit for, and not all the credit, but he gets so much credit for, you know, playing football and baseball. Deion did that too, you know? I mean, he was an incredible athlete, baseball player. There was another guy, Mark Witten. He was a football and baseball player professional. There's been a few guys who've done that, but Dion was incredible. And, you know, his name, his brand, everything. Yeah, that's going to go along with that with Shador. With the Bills, though, they picked number 30 overall in this year's draft. And I've read a lot of mock drafts now. A lot of mocks have them taking a defensive lineman. And I think that's right. Some mocks have them taking a wide receiver. I am not in that camp right now for the Bills. Am I against them taking a wide receiver? No, that's not what I'm saying. And maybe a little bit, I guess, but here's my thought. And I'm trying to bring it from the way I read the roster, okay? The way I read the roster and the way I read how they operate, the Bills, which is this. Last year, they went with this everybody eats mentality. And even though they didn't have a ton of unbelievable passing stats with their pass catchers, they still had the league MVP at quarterback, won their division, and went to the AFC Championship game. I don't think this team has quite the appetite to have to go out and spend those kinds of resources on that kind of on that position. I respect the argument of anybody who says, well, they should. Now, that could change if you had a chance at a Jamar Chase or a T. Higgins if he'd become available, or Justin Jefferson becomes a free agent, right? I get that. What I'm saying is, first round, 30th pick overall, where does that guy fit in with based on how they construct their roster and what their philosophy is? And I just don't think he does very much. It's bringing another Keon Coleman in, which is fine. But you're not, look what Keon Coleman is rookie year. Maybe it didn't go well at the end of the year, but he didn't have incredible stats, incredible numbers. It took a little while for that to start working, and it was working a little bit. I just don't see a receiver being a pick at 30 because you're going to be waiting on that guy, whereas you have other positions which you need more critically right now to make a bigger impact. Now, look, you don't draft for need. That's not what I'm saying. Because that'll take you down a road you don't want to go. That's when you get to, we need a corner, let's take, and you get Kyrie Elam, and it just doesn't work out. You do draft a position. It's always a nuanced point. This need versus best player available. Need versus best player. It is best player available, but you have to get the nuance of this. It's best player available as long as it's at a position where you can use them. That's what it is. Because if the best player available at pick 30 is a quarterback, you're not taking a quarterback. Even though I'll tell you, you take the best player available, Brandon Bean says you're taking the best player available and you stick to your board. You're not taking the true best player available if it's at a position you absolutely don't need. But if it's at a position that you're going to use them, that's where the best player available comes in. That's going to be, to me, at defensive line and at corner mostly. You could use a receiver. I just don't know how much you're going to use them compared to these other positions we're talking about. So that's why I think the Bills are right now. And Brandon, by the way, Brandon Bean was on a podcast with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth last week. I tweeted out a bunch of quotes. One of the things he said that was notable to me was at this point, he said, at this point, anything can change. They'd probably use more of their picks on the defensive side. I think that's a clue, folks, right there. That he's telling you right there. They're looking defense in this draft. And to me, that means their first pick is defense. I think out of their first three picks, let's say they hold their first and their two second-round picks, they have three picks in the first, you know, in the first two rounds. I think it's the over-under on defensive players is two. I think it's two. That's what they're going to pick. At least. It might be three. I'm saying it's no less than two. They're not taking one defense and two offense. I'd be stunned at this point. It would have to really be a guy they totally fall in love with and know they're going to use him. But where's that going to happen? It's only wide receiver, unless something happens with James Cook. So one of the theories from people is, hey, maybe they think this thing with Cook is going south. They're going to draft a running back, and they're going to trade James Cook. Look, I would never say never in this league, especially after a lot of the things that we've seen from James Cook's social media and the fact that Brandon Bean, we know he's not going to pay as much as what appears James Cook wants. And this is a really good running back class. I still have a hard time getting there. He's still under contract for a year. He's still very good for what you do. They're trying to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibilities. I just can't see that happening right now. That's one of the theories about what the Bills could do. Another is being creative. The Bills moving up pretty high in the draft. How high do you have to get, though, to get? You know, if it's for a defensive tackle, I would say, why? This is a really deep defensive tackle class. You don't have to do that. If it's for a corner, maybe a little different. Maybe a little different. You know, you could justify the move if someone like Will Johnson, who, by the way, has family here in Western New York, starts to fall. You know, so there's a lot of ways you could go about this. Owners meetings next week, league meetings, owners are there, GMs are there, head coaches are there. A lot of times, that's when stuff starts to percolate as far as trades, where teams want to position themselves. So we'll see where it goes. All right, we'll take a timeout, one final timeout here. Then we'll get you to Sabres Live at the top of the hour after one more segment. Sabres take on the Ottawa Senators tonight at home. So we'll touch on that a little bit when we come back, and we'll wrap up the Tuesday Extra Point Show for you here on WGR.